When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
All this process talk and all of this breaking things down and unboxing and trying to systematize your thinking on creativity and storytelling and comics, ultimately, I've said this a million times, but ultimately it's only good for when you're really stuck. It cannot replace just being intuitive and doing it every day and practicing and allowing yourself to be surprised by stuff, which is what I learned today. That's my little thought of the day for this mini essay for Thunder Punch Daily. Hi, I'm Jersey Drozd. I was working on one of the series of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe character redesigns today, which is just like a little, you know, it's a diversion that I do. I give myself an hour every once in a while in between paying gigs and pursuing comics projects that I inevitably will release on the web and in print. Just as a way to keep myself fresh. You know, for a while there, I was doing just as a warm-up drawing exercise. Like once a day, I was doing picking an 80s property and just drawing them, doing something cool. There's a whole bunch on my blog at comicsaregreat.com/blog. You can look for the tag drawing for myself. There's a whole mess of them there. And it used to be on another blog called GoGo Illustration, which is now defunct. But what that was all about was, it was just about, you know, when you're starting drawing in your workday, if you're doing this as a full-time thing, or even if you're just doing this on like the weekends or whenever you can find an hour, sometimes it's really hard to sit down and throw down those ink lines, especially when you're like inking with like a brush or a crow quill and you're doing something very delicate. It's tough to get into the rhythm. You have to warm up. At least I do. I find it very useful to warm up and just like you do before you do any kind of athletic exercise, right? You know, you stretch. And so I use these little 80s property drawings that I did, like Primeval from Filmation's Ghostbusters or Decompose from the Inhumanoids, just to pick a pose that I know I can pull off really easily. And it's just about getting my hand used to inking. And then I got a cool little sketch of something that I can, you know, sell at shows and things and just post it on my blog, and it makes people happy. But I changed gears into doing these He-Man character reimaginings because this was another layer of what I wanted to do, was not only warm myself up physically, getting my hand used to inking, but also kind of warm up my brain by taking something that I'm familiar with and I think about a lot. Like, I think about the He-Man cartoon series a lot, and think about what I would do if I were to reimagine them as a series for kids. Because the 2002 He-Man series, for those who don't know, was kind of aged up, kind of like what reportedly they're doing with the Thundercats show, which I haven't seen yet. I will see it eventually. But I thought, well, okay, well, what would happen if you took that series and did it, aimed it once again at, you know, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, and how would I handle it if I was given that dream job of redesigning these characters? So it becomes a warm-up exercise, just drawing something that I know I can pull off really easily, but also becomes a thinking exercise into what preconceptions can I challenge when I look at this character? And I challenge myself on a lot of levels. Like, one, I have to stay true to the character. I want to make sure that they are... They look like, they remind you of the original character. I haven't violated anything about them. And some characters you have more latitude than others. Like, for instance, Spike Orr was one of the favorite ones I've ever done. My favorites, at any rate. Where I took the character, only had a couple appearances in the show, didn't really have a lot of history in the comics or any later iterations of the series. So I felt in the toy, there really wasn't much to the toy, except it was this guy with like a dinosaur face and spikes all over his body. So I felt like I had a lot of room to really reimagine the character. And I made it into a big warrior woman with like a Klingon kind of personality, big aggressive woman, mean thing, but with like a heightened sense of honor and whatnot, but also like a sense of aggression to the point where she would challenge Skeletor openly, knowing that it's not a good idea, but her own sense of bravado compels her to do it. So I was working on Bo today. I've moved on. I finished most of the characters from Eternia, with the exception of a couple. I haven't done King Randor and Queen Marlena yet. I think those are the last two from Eternia that I'm going to do, and I feel like I could save them for the end because Etheria, now we're in the world of She-Ra. So I'm finished the Eternian characters. I'm going to do a handful from the world of Etheria and the She-Ra Princess of Power series. And then I'll close out with King Randor and Queen Marlena, and I'll call it good. But I was working on Bo today, my second of the line of the She-Ra characters, as I progressed through these. And I really didn't know what I was going to do with him. I sat down with the blank sheet of paper, started sketching out a body type. Like, how would I reimagine his body type? Came up with just like a general pose, arms akimbo kind of thing. And as I was sketching out his head, I was giving him kind of an elongated head. And then I just found myself putting kind of a pompous look on his face as I was sketching. And I really try to keep myself under a time limit with these. I give myself about 20 minutes to a half hour to draw the image, and then another 30 minutes to an hour tops to color the image. And it's at comicsaregreat.com/Bow, B-O-W. That's where you can see it, and I'll link to it in the notes for this episode. But once I put on that pompous look, I was like, well, that's surprising, because Bo is a character in the She-Ra series. If you watch any of the He-Man documentaries that are on the DVD collections that BCI Eclipse put out a few years back, Lou Scheimer goes on record. Lou Scheimer, one of the producers of the Filmation He-Man and She-Ra cartoon series, he said like Bo was kind of constructed to be an answer to the damsel in distress idea. Like, supposedly Lou Scheimer's daughter said to him, well, how come, you know, in Superman, like in the old Max Fleischer cartoons, Lois is always getting into trouble and Superman always has to save her. You see this damsel in distress motif repeated again and again in a lot of old media, Zorro, even Dudley Do-Right, but they kind of flipped that on its head a little bit with Nell and the horse. But they said, well, how come there's never a guy who's like the one who's always in distress that the female hero has to save? So that's what Bo is really about. Bo is the guy who's going to trip and fall in the mud, and then the big thing's coming towards him, a big monster, and then She-Ra has to get in the way to save Bo. But, you know, the thing about Filmation, and I love Filmation with all my heart, but the characters don't really come across very loudly in that series. There's a handful of well-defined characters, and the ones who are well-defined I found to be the most difficult to reimagine, like with He-Man and She-Ra and Man-at-Arms. There really wasn't much I would do differently except turn up the volume on a few things in their character. But as far as look and general presence, I didn't feel like I had much room to really kind of invent there. But with Bo, I felt like I did have room, because when I thought about him, he's just like a really good guy who's kind of insecure, likes She-Ra a lot, won't express his feelings towards her, and is constantly trying to prove himself worthy of her, and he goofs up every once in a while, and She-Ra has to save him. That's pretty much the long and short of Bo. A hardcore She-Ra fan might debate me on this, but, you know, it's my reimagining. So I thought, once I saw that pompous look on his face, I was like, wow, what if I did something like that? What if I took him like in an Errol Flynn direction? That's where I started thinking, and I started sketching some more. And then as I finished it, he started looking really pompous to me. And I still didn't really have a grip on what I was going to do with his personality. I left it open. You know, and this is the thinking idea today that I wanted to lay out on Thunder Punch Daily is at that point I felt comfortable with the idea of just let it go for now. While you're coloring the image, you're going to figure it out. And so I took it into Photoshop, and as I'm laying down the colors, I put in all my flats, and I based all the flat colors on the original color scheme of the character, because again, I'm trying to stay true to the character. I did do one little funny thing with the heart on his chest. This is another thing. Like, I did this with the Orko design too, and that's at comicsaregreat.com/Orko. I wanted to preserve some design elements that were inherently very silly, like Orko having an O on his cloak. That's kind of dumb. But I like it because that's the original. So how can I refer to that without throwing it out altogether or leaving it in wholesale and have something that's patently absurd? So with Orko's, I had the O. Actually, you only see like the bottom half of the O in his on his shirt. So it looks almost like it could just be a design element on his cloak thing. And with Bo, I thought, well, how can I have that heart? See, the original character, Bo, had a big red heart on his chest, which a lot of people make fun of. But I think it's adorable that in a girl's show he'd have a heart. I know it's dumb. I know it's borderline sexist that, oh, he's in a girl's show, he's going to have a heart in his chest. But it's fun, too. It's funny that there's this dapper guy with this Errol Flynn mustache with a heart on his chest and a bow, and he's a warrior, right? That sometimes, like, if you look at it through the proper lens, it looks like it's like kid logic, right? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but it's fun because it's the incongruity of it, or maybe it's like a kind of a weird congruity. I don't know, but I wanted to keep the heart. It's the bottom line. So I worked in this design thing where his cloak and shoulder armor configuration is such that it suggests a heart, but it's not really a heart. So that was how I was trying to work it in. But then as I was coloring him, and I laid down all the flat colors, and I started doing the modeling where you throw in like the light and shadow. And by the way, I should link to the videos. I got some videos showing how I do the coloring. I did an hour-long tutorial on how I color these He-Man reimaginings and using the character Stinkor, who I finished a while back. But anyway, when I got to that point of modeling and trying to figure out what was going to be what color, because I did not have that figured out when I was at the inking stage, it suddenly dawned on me that what if his skin tone was a little bit darker than what it was in the original series? Like maybe about, you know, a little darker than He-Man's even. Let's try to bring some ethnicity into this thing without being too cavalier or token-esque about it. I didn't want to be the United Colors of Benetton. Like, well, let's make sure that we've got every nationality represented, but just being playful for a second. What would happen? How does the look change? And suddenly when I darkened his skin tone just a little bit, suddenly I heard the voice of the character. I saw that pompous look on his face, the dark skin, and suddenly I heard the voice of Antonio Banderas speaking to me, like very romantically. And then the character clicked. And it was all out of play. It was all out of just heuristically figuring out, just trial and error. Let's change a little bit of this, change a little bit of that, and see how it feels. And suddenly it made sense to me. I found the answer intuitively rather than having a system of choices that I was going through. Now, going back, looking back on it after the fact, I can figure out what my brain was doing at the time. But again, I didn't know it until it happened. Until I was just by being playful with it. This comes back to something that I was just talking about in Comics Are Great episode, 23, when I was talking to Matt Madden and Matt Fizell. And it's a topic I've talked about it time and time again on a lot of different podcasts that I've done, like Art and Story, and even on Thunder Punch Daily, is creativity in the spirit of play. And it's harder to do than you might think, because when you're getting stuck, you get a little frustrated, and that's the first danger sign. You know, you get a little bit angry because it's not working out right, and you start erasing really hard. You know, you break out the big eraser or the big needleable eraser, start really cranking on the page. Dang, I can't get this to work. Slamming the table, and then it's forget it. You're not going to be able to get into that kind of creative zone. So you have to go into it with kind of a trust in yourself that you're going to figure this thing out. And like I said, when I saw that pompous look on his face when I had the pencil and ink drawing done, I said, I don't know what this means, but I'll figure it out. I'm going to get there. And let's just put it all together and see what happens. And you know, just having a little bit of faith. I mean, and granted, this is just like a dumb little silly sketch, a little creative exercise I do on the side. This is nothing where I'm operating under a hard deadline. Money's not on the line with this. I'm not doing this to win adoration of fans everywhere. So there's a little less pressure on it. Maybe that's why these kinds of exercises are important, to remind us of this kind of thinking so we can take it back to our, you know, kind of our high risk projects, right? But that's what it was. It was just a matter of changing that skin tone just for the sake of seeing what would happen. And then when I backed out and looked at the whole image, suddenly I had the character figured out. And then I knew that, oh, that heart on his chest could be, it makes more sense. And I'm gonna change some of the armor plating underneath his shoulder pads to match that pink. It's okay that he has a lot of pink in his outfit now, because now the character suddenly breathes this essence of, I think I'm the main character in a Harlequin romance novel. I'm Fabio. I'm Antonio Banderas. I am this great lover of women, and women everywhere adore me. And it's a pomposity that is somehow, it's apart from being macho, right? It's not being the big chested, hey, I'm going to kick everybody's butts kind of thing. It's like, oh, I know I'm the most dashing and handsome man in the entire world. And then if you map that on to the idea of him being the one that She-Ra always has to save, now it becomes even more comical. Now it becomes even more endearing, because he's puffed himself up into this idol of women everywhere, and he's graceful and secure and oh so good at everything he does, that women swoon everywhere. And yet the woman, the object of his affection, is the one who always has to bail him out of situations. And then it's going to be a study in how many excuses can he come up with for why it wasn't his fault that he had to be saved in that situation. You know, it's like, oh, well, the odds were really, you know, it was an unfair situation. Or, oh, well, She-Ra, I have to let you, you know, help me every once in a while, after all, to prove that you're useful to the team. And in protecting his own ego, he's further alienating himself from She-Ra, which is making it more difficult for him to win her affection, which is what he ultimately wants. So he's crippled by the thing that he thinks makes him good in the first place. And if he'd just be a little honest with himself and with her, probably the relationship would go someplace. There you go. And it all came out of a simple curiosity of what would happen if I did this. putting the pompous look on his face and not fighting it and not saying, well, that doesn't look right. Bo doesn't act like that. Bo is a pretty good guy on the show. You know, just letting it happen on the page sometimes. And I know that's kind of a touchy-feely way of going at this thing, but I think a lot of artists would back me up on this, that a lot of time it happens from the gut, and we got to remind ourselves to just have a little bit of faith in that. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitter. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. I got some announcements that I hope you'll stick around for. First one is the big one. I mentioned this on the final episode of Art and Story. That's right. Art and Story has a podcast concluded. You've heard me talk about this a couple episodes ago. And in the final episode, I made a big announcement about a project called Lean Into Art. Now, I'll do the short version here of the pitch for it. What is Lean Into Art? It is a new project that I'm working on with Rob Stenzinger of ArtGeekZoo.com. It's at leanintoart.com is the project. leanintoart.com, as if you know, like how a plant leans towards nourishment, leans towards the sun to get its nourishment, or as somebody who is dedicated and is persistent, you lean into the effort, right? You don't blanch, you don't fall away, you push into it, you walk into the wind hard, right? Because it's worth it. That's the idea, that's the ethos that we're trying to conjure with this thing. And what it is if you think about it, like I've been podcasting for several years now, talking a lot about this comics process stuff, thinking about what makes comics tick, unboxing it, and then also coming up with these little mini essays, talking about what makes comics so interesting as a pursuit and giving you at least the shared my experiences to help maybe some of you, you know, find your own way into this thing, this comic stuff. But it only goes so far because this is broadcasting. I'm talking, you're listening, and that's awesome. And you can interact with me. You can email me. You can send me a message on Twitter, Jersey on Twitter, or on Google Plus. I'm just Jersey Droz on Google Plus, or even on Facebook. Comics are great. Facebook.com/comicsaregreat. Gosh, I'm on Tumblr. There's a million ways to get in touch with me, right? And you can interact with me, and I can respond on the show like this. But that is kind of a time-shifted and not very dynamic way of engaging with a constituency and with people who share a common interest. On the other hand, in my classrooms, I always walk out electrified because in the classroom, I'll have this intent of, I'm going to talk about this today. I'm going to start out and this is going to be our topic. And then in the presentation, in the interactive discussion, that is the first part of my classes, somebody will invariably ask a really interesting question that will take me on a really wild tangent. And that tangent will be connected to the greater body of what we're trying to cover over the course of the series of classes that we're doing, or workshops, whatever you want to call it. But it'll be an interesting place to go. And I know that I addressed, or we as a group addressed, something that was really bugging somebody, something that was a point of curiosity for somebody. And they got to scratch that itch in that classroom. And it becomes a much richer experience. And I learn more in those experiences because I'm learning what people are curious about. And sometimes it's difficult to find words to respond to exactly what they're curious about. So it becomes a richer experience for all involved. So where am I driving it with all this? Lean Into Art is going to feature online comics workshops. Finally, something I've wanted to do for the longest time, and I thank Rob Stenzinger from the bottom of my heart for teaming up with me on this thing, because I couldn't have done it without him. There's no question in my mind. I could not have done this thing without his help. And he's along not only in terms of a technical capacity, but he is also somebody who is really good at organizing his thoughts and presenting them. So he's going to be the co-dean of this thing, this art center, as it were, that we're creating. And I'm also just excited about the idea of taking a lot of my classes on the road without actually having to get on the road. So we're kicking off in November with a big event called 30 Classes in 30 Days, where every day of the month in November, we're going to be hosting an online comics workshop of some sort, whether it is some kind of pre-recorded time-shifted thing that you can enjoy whenever you want, or it's going to be a live interactive class, or it's going to be a live interactive talk where there could be, you know, a presentation by a smart person in comics and you can follow up with some Q&A, maybe some assignments of some sort, some kind of action that you got to take, and then the presenter will follow up with you in a forum after the fact. But either way, there's going to be some kind of interactive thing happening every day for the month of November, and that's going to be how we launch this thing. 30 classes in 30 days. There's a link to find it on leanintoart.com. And then after that, I'm going to be doing, every month, I'm going to be posting a couple online comics workshops that I want to lead, and I'll be making noise about it on Thunderpunch Daily, on the Twitters, all the other different news feeds that I have, notifying people about when this is going to happen. Oh, this would be a good time to remind you guys that I have a mailing list at comicsaregreat.com in the sidebar. You can click the enter your email name and email address. You can be added to the email list, and I'm sending out newsletters to people who are interested in the stuff I'm doing, and I'm also even sharing like comics lesson plans for doing creative activities at home, or if you're an educator, take it to your classroom. But anyway, that's another place where I'll be putting out news about upcoming workshops that I'm going to be doing, and. So I'm super excited about this. I'm super excited about the prospect of leading online comics workshops with anybody around the world who wants to participate. And this is where I have a question for you. If you have a particular topic that you would love to take a workshop on, let me know. I am always curious for discovering and developing new ideas for my comics classrooms. So you can email me at jerseydrozd@gmail.com or comicsaregreat@gmail.com. Both of them get to me. So leanintoart.com. If you think it's a cool idea, I'd appreciate it if you told a friend. Just let some people know about it. Say, hey, there's this new thing. Leanintoart.com. I heard about it from Jersey. Sounds like it could be cool. Maybe you should check it out. There are limited seats. There's only 25 seats for the top tier for the live interactive classes, and then there's like 125 for the middle tier, and then I forget how many we have for the bottom tier. I'd have to actually look at the site. Look at the site right now. Actually, I could do that. Oh, let's go down and find out. So we've got 100 seats for the lowest tier, the cheapest tier. Because yes, this is going to cost money because there's a lot of Rob and I are investing a lot of time, energy, and money into making this thing happen. So it's not going to be for free like the podcast. But hey, that's what the podcast is for. The podcast is free. There's a Leaning Tired podcast too. But then the classes, the rich experience is going to be, a premium service. But I'm, like I said, I'm super excited about it. I think it's going to be affordable. I think it's going to be totally worth it. And I'm going to pour my guts into this thing, and I hope you guys will come along for the ride. So, okay, went a little long with the announcement, but I'm excited about it. And I'll be talking about it more in future episodes of Thunder Punch Daily, which reminds me, I'll be back soon with another one. And until then, remember, everybody.
It sure is nice to spend a day in the woods. Nature offers us much to enjoy. Unfortunately, some people do things which hurt the plant and animal life in the forest, like Danavis in today's story. By taking the mother rose egg, he upset the natural order of things. So the next time you're in a beautiful outdoor setting, enjoy yourself, but be sure to leave things just as you found them. That way, the next person can enjoy them too.